social media is this dark place. People are going to go there anyway. So if I can just have a little light there and they see that.
One of the fastest growing creators,
Jimmy Darks, has helped change the lives of countless strangers.
His videos are unlike anything on social media.
And you're using it for good.
What's it been like to be a Christian and be in an industry where it's constantly villainized?
At the end of the day, like, God will be my promoter, not man be my promoter.
When I was 18 years old, someone looked into my eyes and they knew everything I've ever done. They said, I love you and I forgive you. And his name was Jesus. And when he changed my life and embraced me, it can't do anything but explode your heart for people.
And he's like, you're gonna ask people for help. And when they help you, then you help them. Switching from ownership to stewardship. That's so key. You're able to take the dream of God he gave you, make it practical, put in the work. It doesn't take a genius, you know?
What are some ways you've used to stay grounded?
My favorite thing to do would be like,
hey everyone, thanks for listening to The Brian Ellis Show. I'm super excited for this episode with Jimmy Darts. I think it's going to be just as impactful to you as it was for me doing the interview. Hey, if you guys like this podcast and it's impacted you in any way, it means the world to me if you would rate, review, and subscribe. Every time you leave a review, it helps, you know, boost the algorithm of the podcast so more people can be impacted by its messages. That's all I have to say for you guys today. Please enjoy my interview with Jimmy Darts. Just once.
Oh,
like that. Okay. There you go. I love that you're clapping. I want to leave that in the podcast. Oh, yeah.
Was that a first?
Yeah, I know. We got that. That's great. How are you feeling after a long day of brainstorming?
Good. I want people to know this isn't my real voice.
Yeah.
I'm a little sick because usually people go, is that his real voice? Like, no, it is my voice if you're able to hear it, but.
Well, it's because you were just at the Super Bowl, and then what game did you get? You went to a Knicks game afterwards? Or
Yeah. In the last, like, 10 days, I was, like, in New York, went on Fox News there, did a video in the Bronx, flew back, went to the Super Bowl, shot the first episode of a TV show.
Oh, my gosh.
Took a family there, surprised a mom there, then flew here.
Oh my
and then
gosh.
We just been brainstorming. And
well, your voice was better yesterday. Did
no
you,
way,
like, go-
really.
Did it get worse today?
I don't know. Maybe the pizza last night or yeah, something like that, yeah.
A little Valentine's Day
pizza. Yeah. Hopefully it gets better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so we won't go into too much detail because it's by the time this episode's released, it won't be out yet, but we've been working on a project together that I'm excited for. So you were here in Reading for a few days, and we spent probably a total of, what, 8-9 hours brainstorming ideas in a conference room with like eight other employees.
Yeah, it was a blast, man. And just so full circle, you know, you guys were the first company to ever reach out to me to give me a chance to get going and making content, which I wanted to do full time.
Yeah.
And so now to be back here and like have everybody working on something that's going to change people's lives is a super dope feeling.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. That's really encouraging. It's funny though. Somebody was like, oh, I think I heard Jimmy say that you guys were one of the first companies to hire him for his thing. And I was like, yeah, but if we weren't, somebody else would have. Like, we got to him first because you could tell that the kind of content you were making was disruptive and that the stuff that people were interested in. And so it was funny when Dave was like, yeah, we should have him do these videos. I'm like, hell yeah. Like, that's amazing. And so, and it was really cool because, you know, the videos you've made have evolved over time to where it's stuck into this brand that is so perfect for you. And because like the first video that you went mega viral with Adventure Challenge was this blind date you took this random girl on. And those aren't the videos you're making now. And I loved how you were able to not get pigeonholed into just date videos. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of influencers, they get famous for one video and then they just stick with it. And it's like, well, now your whole identity is wrapped around this thing. And then you're not even passionate about this. But you were able to take the concept and evolve it into this thing where you're able to inspire people, millions of people all over the world with human kindness.
Yeah. And that was the plan from the beginning, really, was, you know, I came down the stairs at my parents' house and my dad, he's like, Jimmy, what do you want to do with your life? And I was like, oh, I guess it means not working for you at the restaurant if you're saying that. And I was like, I mean, if I could do anything, obviously I don't have an arm like Tom Brady, whatever, but if I could do anything, it'd be like travel around the country, change people's lives, give away money, cars, like just radically bless people.
Wow.
And do it in the name of like Jesus, if that's even possible. But that's not a real job. I can't go on like Craigslist and like find that. And my dad's so old school, working at his restaurant that he owns, and just he works like 90 hours a week, like his whole life. I think when him and my mom first got married, my dad went a total of like 9 years or something without a single day off. Like not even like Christmas. He was just grinding.
Wow.
And so telling him like it's something's hard is like it just goes right out his other ear.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right. Like I'll he's like, start tomorrow. So I'm like, all right, I'll start tomorrow. So I get in my car, go cross country. And the very first video I did, I could just feel God on it because I read a comment and one of the comments said, give somebody a random roll of tape and don't say a word.
Wow.
So I'm in Minnesota, like about to leave the state. I pull over to this random parking lot. I have a duck roll of tape or whatever you call it, like scotch tape. And I go up to this lady in her car and I'm just like, hand it to her. And she goes, oh my gosh, you're an angel, you're an angel. And I'm like, I didn't say a word. I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, we have been looking everywhere for tape, me and my husband. And like, how did you know we? And she's
what?
Like, yeah, crying. It's just like crazy. And I just walk away and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
And so the whole idea though was to make family friendly content, like, not really the word prank because it's not like comedy at the expense of someone else. It's more of like just fun, laughter, family friendly stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but prank style stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan was to do that to get to gain around 1 million followers. And then from that point, then be able to transition into like helping people out, changing their lives. Cause you know, you can't give away money and do all that stuff if you don't have any, you know? And so I did that right when I started making TikTok and like drained my account, like taking a homeless gentleman parasailing and stuff. I'm like, that's dope. I want to do it again tomorrow, but I can't. And so it was a really cool transition of how it flowed, but it was also like somewhat thought through. You know?
Yeah, that's interesting. So did you start making money off of like YouTube, or was it brand deals with companies paying you to make videos for their products and stuff like that? Was that helping you to continue to fund? Because obviously you do these videos, you're paying for, you know, a homeless man to go parasailing and stuff. Then it's like, well, how do you get the funds for the next video? Like, how were you able to like regenerate that to continue, you know, before you had the website with the donations and things like that?
Yeah. So the very first way, like I knew I wanted to help people once I got more followers, cause that's what I knew I would want to do long-term and would never burn out doing that. But I remember, it was like, I had been making videos for a little bit. I'm in California walking on the street and I'm like, all right, God, like I really want to just go full into helping change people's lives and do this stuff like we used to do off camera, but do it on camera. But I don't want to make it about me. Like, hey, it's Jimmy. We're, you know, I'm like, how can I do that? And I feel like the Lord said the kindness challenge. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you're going to ask people for help. And when they help you, then you help them. I'm like, wait, what? Is that like some word puzzle? Like, I'm going to ask them for help. They help me. I help them. And sure enough, I'm like, all right. And so this family comes across the street. I asked them for some food, money, I'm hungry. They give me like a burrito out of their backpack, like a dollar. And at the time I had $100. And so I reached my pocket. I'm like, actually, I just want to see the first person help me out. Here's $100.
Wow.
And they're blown away. And just like it rocked them to the core. Like that's the last thing they thought was going to happen. And it was so dope because when I posted that video, all the comments were about them and the gentleman's family. Mm. And like none were about me because my face wasn't even in the video.
Yeah.
And it was all about his kindness, you know? So I thought that was super dope. And we ended up raising money to pay for his rent for like a month after that. And then my dad actually, he's like, hey, Jimmy, I love what you're doing. Like, I love seeing you change people's lives. I think it was, he's like, I'm going to send you $1,000. So that's 10 videos, $100 a video.
Wow.
So you can continue doing this.
Wow.
And so I had another 10 videos to do that. And by that time you build trust with the audience. They see you're giving back. They see it's not just like a random one-off video, but that's really what you want to do. And so after that, we started raising money for videos, and then it went from $100 to give away to $500 to give away, and sometimes $1,000 and more. And that's kind of how that happened. And then the whole GoFundMe thing, that's like, that was when it went to a whole nother level, but those were the early like stages of it.
Well, it's crazy because I will always usually, if you post a video and post a GoFundMe, I'll usually click on it to see how it's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, every time you post a GoFundMe, yeah. people are donating $20, $30, $40, $50, $100,000.
Yeah.
And you're like, how is it consistent every single time? Like people, it's like people, it's you're hitting an audience that is, it's being super generous the way that you're storytelling. I mean, because a lot of people could go out and make the same type of content, but it takes a creative eye, a good storyteller to edit, to create it, and to frame it in a way that's compelling, right? And that's the beauty of storytelling. And you do it so well. And it's like, did you ever expect it to get that big? And like, I don't know, what are some of the things that you're, you know, playing with right now to build on for the future?
Yeah, 100%. It's a great question. I mean, it really is shocking. Like every time I post a video, I'm like an hour in, I'm like, whoa, they got $20,000. How's this happening?
Dang.
And it's not from some big donor. It's literally these people that are giving $5, $10, but it's 4,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when a video hits 3-4 million people, all you need is a small percentage that want to give. And even the person that can't give, but they share the video,
mm-hmm.
that's essentially them donating to it, because someone that might be able to donate and afford that sees the video. So it's really wild and crazy. And yeah, there's a lot of intricacies that go into it. And like being able to raise that much, you know, you have to do a lot of follow-up videos to show, like, you know, if people donate and they never see the person getting the funds, like mm-hmm. obviously you can go on GoFundMe and see like it was transferred to this person's name.
Yeah.
But from the viewer's aspect, they want to see you go and tell Sharice or Daniel that they want to see that reaction on his face. So it's like this tricky thing, because it's like you have to raise this money in this short amount of time, like 10 hours,
mm-hmm.
because you have to tell them the next morning so they don't check their phone or someone tells them about it.
Yeah.
Because if you do, they might have cried in their room for 4 hours. And by the time they see you, they already processed it. And it's not that they're unthankful when you tell them, but they've already cried their eyes out. And so they're more just shocked. And then the audience might think they're unthankful. So the key is to find people and to do it in a way where when you tell them, they literally are hearing for the first time. And they're like, oh my gosh,
You
know? And so, yeah, it's...
Yeah, and that continues to inspire them to donate more.
Exactly, yeah. So
I love that.
That's something we've been able to do is... Yeah, post like so many of the follow-up videos, and sometimes I might not post a follow-up because I tell the person and like a bus drove by and you couldn't even hear them react when I said it to them, or they already cried 3 hours and I don't want to make them look unthankful online if they're more like, wow, thank you, but they really are sincere. So yeah.
That's interesting. Well, we had you on the podcast like 3 years ago. Was it 3 or 4 years ago?
It was right when I started going on this.
Really?
Stuff.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That was wild. But you still had, I think you had close to 1 million followers on Instagram, maybe. You had several on TikTok already. You were starting to blow up there. I'm curious, in the years of this blowing up, what are some ways that you've used to stay grounded? You know, because... It's interesting, right? Like becoming successful, making a lot of money, getting an enormous amount of attention on social media. It can be like a drug. You know what I'm saying? Like going viral is pretty euphoric, especially the first few times it happens. You're like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. And I'm going to chase this. And there's so many people on social media just constantly chasing that high. And I'm like, what you're building and what you're growing is impacting so many people. It's inspiring millions of individuals. But like, how has it been for you personally, like staying grounded in like your faith and taking care of yourself and your emotional mental health?
Yeah, really, like as much as you possibly can, live for the audience of one, like do everything before God. And if you think of like the dopest people in the world, that if you were with them in person, you might feel nervous around them. Like, I don't know, the president or Drake or whoever, like The Rock, whatever. Like when you're with these people, if you realize, wait, the God that I know is the one that made those people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you understand that, you understand like, wow, like he is the coolest. He is the top person. Like, you know, and when you have that relationship with Jesus, really just remembering like in 1 minute, it's scary, but he could literally say like, stop, delete everything. I want you to do something else. And you'd have to do it.
Yeah.
Like I've gotten that place with God where my relationship is his. And so if he tells me to do something or not to do it, I'm going to do it. And I never want to get to a place where something's an idol in my heart. Cause as soon as it is, that's probably when he'll be like, hey buddy, time to do something else. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep a balance and just staying on your knees, like literally your knees before God in your room, spending time with them and having a good community of friends around you and stuff. And yeah, just like seeing and not making the same mistakes other people make, you know, yeah. Like every week someone comes out and something crazy about them or this or that, or like they fell into some sin or whatever. So it's like, wow, just stewarding your own heart. Pride comes before the fall, like all these things, make sure you stay humble and just all that. But yeah, really just hanging out with Jesus, playing Christmas music makes me feel like a kid. I feel like when I see myself as a kid, that's like the best thing ever. And just yeah. being childlike, yeah. as soon as I'm like, I'm smart, I know what I'm doing. I'm like, it's like, that's a dangerous place to be. Yeah. But when you're like, I literally know almost nothing. Yeah. And I remember, I think it was maybe you or someone else on a podcast was like, what do you tell people that think you're crazy? Like, what do you say to them? And I was like, yeah, they're probably right. Like, I don't have anything to say to that, you know? So that's kind of, yeah, the key. If you want to know practically, super practically,
yeah.
My favorite thing to do would be like, man, light a candle, get a little Earl Grey with some half and half, play like a piano calming instrumental on Spotify. This book, Honey by Eric Gilmore. It's got these like one line quotes to really stir your heart up in the Lord, like read those, then go to the word, read that, think of things you're thankful for, say those out loud, and just have like those are like the actual practicals, right? Because mm-hmm. everyone's like, oh yeah, hang out with God and just stay humble. It's like, all right, how do I practically do that? Mm-hmm. And I think these things apply for anyone watching, like whatever career you do, whatever, like yeah, just everyone probably has a different way they connect with pops, but that's kind of how I do it.
Yeah, no, I like that. What's it been like to be a Christian and be in an industry where it's constantly demonized or villainized? You know what I'm saying? Like actually being vocal about your faith, especially with Christianity, is very yeah. frowned upon because of what it can be associated with and some of the pain that members in that institution have caused. But I notice you're very vocal about it on your Instagram and what you create and release. And it seems that people respond really well. Like even on the last video we did on YouTube, the last interview we did, there was two or three people who were like, I'm an atheist, but whenever this guy talks about Jesus, like I yeah. actually feel something. And it's interesting because what's his name, Jordan Peterson, says there's not a lot of true atheists. Most of them are just anti-religion. They've been hurt by the institution, and so they're anti that, but they you know what I'm saying, they're not necessarily anti-God. But I'm wondering what your experience has been, because you've been able to hang around a lot of really influential people, a lot of yeah. people who are in that industry, and you seem to be still very vocal about your faith and stuff like that. Do you want to talk into that at all?
Yeah, yeah. I would say like just remaining your keeping your innocence and not trying to walk on eggshells or like undo or fix problems that other people may have caused, you know? So really live an authentic life of Jesus and like talk about him boldly, but really back it up with your lifestyle. And that alone is amazing. When we get too deep into like, oh, this group of people was hurt, this was group, and you try to like do things to undo things and this and that, it's like you get in kind of over your head and too complex. But if you just love people well, you live with joy, mm-hmm. you don't live judgmental, but if a friend asks you something and they want to know what you really think, you tell them, or say, man, if you really want to know the answer to that tough question you're asking, like go hang out with God, mm-hmm. sit on your knees before him and say, Jesus, I want to know what you think about this. Yeah. And most likely it'll be in the word, but when you come and you're actually hungry for that, God will speak to you about that sin or that struggle in your life. But when he speaks to you, he'll also give you the grace to live it out. Mm. Where if you ask something out of a wrong heart posture of, I just want to know, like, what is this? Like, someone will tell you an answer with no grace to live it out. Mm. Kind of like, you know, how the Pharisees would always ask Jesus different things and rarely he would respond to him because he knew the heart posture was coming out of.
Yeah.
You know? And so yeah, that's kind of what I would say there. But no, like I'm so excited every time I talk about Jesus, cause I just want to represent him rightly. Like there's so many people misrepresenting him. So if I got one life and I live to be 68, 70, 80, yeah. whatever, like I'm going to use all those days I possibly can to just love people well,
yeah.
talk about Jesus, share about how awesome he is. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like he's the one that brought me to where I am at the end of the day. Like I used to make crazy, wild prank videos, and I did that when I was saved. I deleted it all, went off the internet for 4 years, never thought I'd be back on again. And then he said, I want you to now make videos for me, Jimmy. And so this has always been his thing. This hasn't been my thing. And he gave me the idea to do it. I wasn't smart and didn't think about it on paper. And so because he gave it to me, like he'll sustain it if I just don't take it in my own hands, but keep it into his hands. But yeah, there's been definitely times where I'm on like a news station or whatever. And I know like, oh man, if I bring up Jesus right now, I'll never be invited back. Mm. And I do it like every time. Cause I'm like, whatever, forget it. Like, yeah. I don't care if I don't get invited back. Yeah. Like they can edit it out, whatever, but I'm going to be authentic. And I believe if I live like that, then God will be my promoter, not man be my promoter. And when you have an idea that God is your promoter, you know that when you talk boldly about him, he'll be the one to elevate you things. Where if I went cookie cutter, like walk on eggshells, don't mention him here, and I get promoted, now man's promoting me. And now 5 years later, I'm in this really deep into something that I don't want to be in and don't say, but if I, you know, speak the truth from the get-go. And so I've had to do that. Like brand deals have reached out to me with great, great opportunities, and I've had to say no because I'm like, yeah, like your movie that's coming out, like I wouldn't want my kid, if I had a kid watching this, so I'm not going to do your brand deal, or different creators or whatever wanting to collaborate. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that would be fun. They're super influential, super well-known, but I don't want like a 10-year-old following me to go click on his or her page and be like, oh, whoa, what did I just see? Like, I'm terrified of that whole verse of like, he who causes like a little one to sin, like it's worse than being thrown like off the end of the boat, whatever that is. Like, I just want to do whatever I can do to, you know, represent him rightly, but not use, I don't know. Yeah.
I love that. I love where your heart's at, bro. Like, I think that's incredible. And, You also recently got engaged.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I know we last time you were on the
podcast.
You got
to tell them what's funny about it.
Well, so I'm actually recently engaged as well. I proposed last week in Maui, but I was going to propose in New York City on the ice skating arena. But like a week before going, I lost all my peace and I was like, I don't feel like this is right. Something feels off. Maybe this isn't the time. I know I want to get engaged, but something just feels whack about it right now. And she didn't know, luckily. And we went to New York. The day I got back, I checked my Instagram and you were proposing at the ice skating arena in New York City. It was a beautiful shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful shot. But then I proposed 2 weeks later. Or a month later in Maui. And Maui just felt better for me because we both love tropical weather. And I've personally had a lot of healing and breakthrough in Maui. And so it just felt like the right place to do that.
It's funny because if I probably didn't do it there, I probably would have done it in Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah. But praise God we both didn't do it at the same place, same time.
That would have been funny.
That would have been a little awkward. But
yeah. Well, so you have a larger following, so my girlfriend would have been like, or fiance would have been like, did you just copy Jimmy? And I'm like, no.
All right. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And then same situation. You're getting married in a couple months.
Yeah.
And I'm getting married like a few months after I proposed because my sisters are pregnant.
And then her sister's pregnant and her other one's getting married. To me, I'm like, once you get engaged, like, why have a long engagement? You know? I'm like, just do it. Get married. And like, I know I'm wanting to marry her. And some people are like, oh, well, it's a season. Enjoy the engagement. And I'm like, yeah, cool. You do that. But like, we're just going to get married. Someone was like, is she pregnant? I'm like, no, she's not pregnant. We just want to get married.
You're trying to cover it up and quick.
Yeah. Literally, I'm like, I don't feel like I need to cover it up. You know, it's like, yeah, we're just excited about it. And, you know, I'm going to keep our wedding pretty small. She wants that as well. It's just going to be parents, grandparents, siblings, and like five of our close friends. And
once you involve the cousins, now you got like fifth cousin, sixth cousin.
Oh yeah.
She's probably your sixth cousin.
And dude, so many people, like, it's just like, I love what Chance the Rapper says. It's kind of cheesy, but he's like, I don't want anyone to be at my wedding who's not going to be there for my marriage. And that line to me,
I thought you were going to say that wouldn't be at my funeral. But.
No. I don't want anybody to be at my wedding who's not going to be at my funeral. I'm saying the wrong thing. Who's not going to be there for my marriage. So he's basically I don't want anybody at my wedding who's not going to be there for me when I'm experiencing hardship in my marriage. Yeah,
that's fine.
And I was like, I like that. I actually like the idea of everyone who's here right now
is
for this moment is accountable to this and is here for us when we face hardship and go through trials and things like that. And I love that. But tell us a bit, because last time you were on the podcast, you were single, and we were talking about like dates you were going on and making TikTok videos, yeah. And now you met a beautiful, lovely, intelligent woman. I'm super excited. Do you want to tell us the story on how you met her?
Yeah. I got invited to speak at this thing in Kansas City, like this Christian event. And I wasn't going to go because I'm like, Kansas City, like, why the heck would I want to go there? It's like the middle of nowhere. Like, I don't even know if there's an airport around there. And I was like, dang it. Anytime I usually get invited to something, I feel like it's God, like, saying, yo, if you want to come, there could be something happening. Like, I've almost never gotten invited to something and shown up and nothing, and like always something random and cool will happen. Especially when you're around a believers or people, like something dope's gonna happen, like you're gonna meet a cool connection, whatever. So I get there and I'm speaking at this there's like a big event called the Send, with like a stadium event at the Chiefs arena, and then before that there was like a little church of maybe like 400 people in like a Christian influencer panel. So I'm there to speak on that, and I'm in the back of the room. I showed up like a little late with my friends, and I'm just like looking at the crowd before I go up, like the back of everyone's heads, and I see this girl and her hair's like big and curly and crazy, and I'm like, all right. And she turns around and like doesn't look at me, but just like looks in the back of the room, and I'm like, I saw her face, I'm like, wow. And just in my head I'm like, Jesus, please let me marry her. And I'm
no
like,
way.
Yeah.
You literally saw her and thought that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
You're now fiance. Yeah. You saw in a room and you go, Jesus, please let me marry her. And now you're getting, that's crazy.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah. So I end up going on stage speaking. And then get off stage, and I'm not the type that's gonna go like flirt with someone or like, hey, what's up? Like, yeah. I just always thought that's cheesy, and I'm always like, yo, like, I don't know, in the Bible, something like Eve came to Adam or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know, yeah. Not to get too spiritual, but I was like, I don't want to strive for it, just like find the wrong person because I just made something happen.
Totally,
you know.
Yeah.
Like, and so I just am walking out in the lobby, kind of lingering. She comes, says hi to me, and she was with a guy named Jimmy at the time.
Oh, wait, she was dating a guy?
No,
named
they
Jimmy.
Weren't dating. They were just kicking it, hanging out.
Okay, cool.
And so I'm like, wow, good to meet you. And I find out where she's from, and like my favorite city in the world, Palm Springs. And I'm like, wow, y'all are awesome. Can I get both of y'all's numbers?
Oh,
like,
well, smooth.
Like, I'm, yeah, yeah.
Let's get everyone's phone number.
Yeah,
here.
Everyone in the five feet parameter. Yeah. So I get her phone number, and I'm talking to her, and yeah, my friends are screaming my name, and I can't even hear it. And later that night, we hung out. I took her on like this bridge to go home. Like, we stopped on this bridge and talked for a little while. And my whole life, like, not my whole life, ever since I was 18 years old, gave my life to Jesus, I don't know why, but I had this strong conviction that I didn't want to kiss someone until I married him.
Really?
And so, yeah, so I'd go on, like, dates with girls or, like, you know, get to know them a little, maybe, you know, like, I'd gone on a few dates, and then just, for some reason, I just would say it, and I'm like, Jimmy, don't say it. It's, like, so, like, intense for someone to hear that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, wait till you want them over fully, then say that, and then they're stuck. And so I would just tell girls, like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I just feel like I don't want to kiss someone until I get married. And mind you, I've kissed people before I was saved, but it was a fresh conviction when I got 18.
Okay. Yeah.
And so they would all, like, dip after that. Like,
really?
Every girl I would go out with, like, they would just be, like, they think it was too weird or too intense.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, should I change my conviction or will the right girl be down? And so I get on this bridge, like, the first day I met her, and I tell her this, and she's like, oh my gosh, I've been looking for a guy that had those same morals, but I didn't like tell anyone that because I feel like the guy should lead the relationship. And so she was all in, and I was like, oh, dope. And so
wait. Let me get this straight. So you met her, and that same day you told her about
your
but then you asked her out that same day?
No, so we, after that event at the church happened, we went to another like tent gathering. A bunch of people were there.
Okay.
And I got hanging out with her, and then she was like, oh, I need a ride home. Like, could you give me a ride? And I was like, oh yeah, I'll give you a ride. And all my friends were there that I had drove, and they're like, Jimmy, you're giving her a ride? Like, what, you leaving us here? I was like, don't worry, I'll be back 15 minutes. I never came back. Yeah, they called my phone like 800 times.
I gotta go see about a girl.
Yeah. So I was driving her home, and we pulled over at a bridge and just got talking and stuff, and I shared that with her, and then dropped her off at her Airbnb. that she was staying at, and she's staying at this Airbnb with friend, like people she like had just kind of met, not even her close friends. And she gets in there and she's like, oh my gosh. And they're like, what? And she's like, I know I don't really know y'all super well, but I feel like I just met my husband. Yeah. So she said that like the day she met me. And
so both of you guys.
Yeah. So then I like, I'm back at the crib and I set her, her face as like my wallpaper. And it was like the next day or like 2 days later.
Oh my God.
Then I'm driving back home, and long story short, literally like 5 days after I met her, I went to hang out with her back in California, and that's when it just came out, and I was like, do you want to be my girlfriend? And she's like, yeah, sure. And I was like, can I hold your hand? And she's like, no. And so I was like, damn, okay, this is good. The next day, she let me hold her hand, but no. Yeah, it was wild.
Dude, that's such a cool, so the...
Oh, and by the way, when she was sitting in the crowd at that event I was going to speak at, when I saw her face, she was sitting there and she said she felt like the Lord kept saying, turn around, turn around. And that's why she kept looking back in the corner of the room. And that's when I saw her face and then said the prayer.
Wow.
But I don't know.
Dude, that's wild. Like, I mean, like how I met my now fiance, and it's so different because when I met her, you know, it's different with everybody, right? But like when I first met her, I was like, oh, she's cute. Like, oh, she's cute.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. I was also in a season where I was like, I'm not dating right now. I'm taking a break from all relationships, all, you know, dating relationships, and I'm just not looking. And it kind of just like snuck up on me. I had her on my podcast even.
No,
she's
way.
Like a cancer survivor. Like, she had full on, like, you know, she was chemo, bald, like full on cancer, deathbed. And so I had her on my podcast because I was like, dude, let's talk about almost dying with cancer. Right. And she's like, yeah. And she's on my podcast talking, and I was like, man, I kind of dig her. Like, right. She's cute. She's smart. Yeah. Like, she's been through, and this might sound really weird. I don't know if we want to edit this out afterwards, but I'm just going to say it. I was talking to one of my friends, and I was like, I had gone on a date with this girl who had cancer before. And there was something about her and her energy, the way she lived, the way she saw life, the way she was able to handle. And I was like, I like that. Like, and I told Abby, I was like, I think whoever I meet is probably going to be a cancer survivor.
Dang.
And then she was like, why do you say that? I was like, I don't know, but there's something about people who have overcome that. That's just, it's weirdly attractive. And so when I met Em and she said that, I was like, that's really weird. And I told her later on when we started dating, I was like, yeah, like to me, she was like, yeah, I didn't know if that would be like a turnoff or something. And I'm like, no, like you overcame incredible odds and you fought through something. And the whole time you fought through, you had this joy and this optimism and this vision. And but it's interesting hearing other people's stories, how they met, you know, well, you're now fiance, because it's like you literally saw her and were like, God, I want to marry her. And she saw you. And then that day was like, I think I met my husband. That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this, like, I'm all about stars aligning and like cool things happening, but I'm also very practical and I'm never going to over spiritualize something. And so that could have happened, and I could have had 50 dreams of her and still not, it worked out. Like, I didn't base off like, oh, wow. Yep. I'm now dating her. I asked her to be I'm going to marry her. It was more like, wow, all that happened. That's dope. That's cool. But I'm erasing it all and forgetting it. It's not going to influence any decision I make. Now, practically, I need to know, do we fit together? Do we have similar goals? All those things. Because if you just go fully into one side, like fully practical, but you don't have peace and you don't feel like they have the same conviction, that's not good. And if you go fully into, I don't know anything about Stacy, but man, I had two dreams. I'm going to marry her. Like, it can get a little dicey. So definitely wanted to date her for like, if you date somebody for a year and a half, almost 2 years, and no kissing, no physical touch, like, you get to know them.
So
like,
you've kept that.
Yeah.
So you still haven't kissed her.
Yeah, no, it's honestly intense. I don't know if you want to say, like, people
say
this, but I feel such a calling on God for my life, apart from what I'm doing now, of purity. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm going to, like, lead the next generation in purity and write a book and speak about it. And there's something so powerful about a leader that's actually walked something through and did it, versus if, let's say, I kissed her, we forgave each other, walked through it, and then went another 8 months without kissing. And then I wrote this book, and I was like, I was so, you know, fixed on not doing this. And then when it all seemed right, like we ended up kissing. And actually, the biggest lesson I ever learned was forgiveness and not idolizing like a goal. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's powerful. There's so many books like that. Mm-hmm. But I really felt like the Lord wanted to do something with my life. And this is all me talking without even like I'm not doing anything with it yet.
Yeah.
But I feel like 10, 15 years from now, it's going to be a powerful message. And not saying that everyone has to do that, but I feel like, yeah, just having a leader out there that maybe has walked through something and kept purity will give kids hope. I don't know if you remember that story about the guy with the 4-minute mile. You know about that?
Yeah. Nobody could break it until he did.
And then like 200 people that year or something broke it.
Yep. I think it was actually it was a 5-minute mile.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was something like
4 minutes. He'd be on a horse or something.
Yeah, because now people have broken 4 minutes, but it was a 5-minute mile, which is now like a standard in an Olympia. Yeah. And if you can't run a 5-minute mile, don't show up. But yeah, it was like one. It took one person to lead that movement. There's even myths or stories about they had lions chasing people to try to break the record. It didn't happen, and so. But also, what you're saying, they might go, "Yeah, that's extreme. It's just a kiss." But it's not. What you communicated is this is an important value of mine, and I don't want this violated.
Yeah.
And if somebody were to do that anyways, that's very selfish. That's saying, I don't care what you want and what you're communicating is something that's important to you. I'm going to get what I want. So, I mean, I think in any relationship, when you set a boundary like that and say, this is really important to me.
Yeah.
I don't want this violated. Yeah. And someone does it, maybe, obviously, there could be room for forgiveness. Or, oh, you know, I was drunk, whatever. You can figure that out as it comes. But that's a huge red flag, regardless of what the boundary is.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that's incredible that not only you set that, but she's kept that and you've both been able to walk this. And how much you get to know somebody when you're not numbing it or filtering it through physical affection. And I'm not somebody who, like, I definitely am not waiting till marriage to kiss. Yeah. My girlfriend make out all the time. And we know we have boundaries in other areas, but, you know, we'll say that, but like how much I want to disclose. But basically, like, you get to know somebody so much more when it's not like you're using sexuality or sexual needs to fill in the time and get that need met. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, so obviously, I've never had a girlfriend apart from her, so I don't have like 50 other examples. But yeah, one of the biggest benefits I've seen is that 100%, like getting to know them in such an intense way. And when there's arguments, conversations, having to work it out rather than like, oh, come here, let me give you a kiss and like let's forget about it. Like so, that's been key. Also, just if it doesn't ever work out, like, you know, that's someone else's wife that I would have kissed. Yep. And if I see her at a grocery store, that's awkward. Why not just avoid that entirely? And then also to make sure, like, that the person I'm with has self-control, you know, like, just for marriage or whatever. So there's tons of benefits to it. And it's definitely something that's you know, it sounds difficult, but to be honest, it's been the easiest thing on the planet. Like, there's just, you know, whenever you commit your mind to something or you feel God pulling you to do something, like, a lot of times a big grace will come with it, you know, to be able to do it. So it's been amazing. But yeah, to your point, yeah, I hear people rip on like NFL guys all the time because they're like, I want about contracts, right? Yeah. So it'll be like, man, this quarterback wants this amount. Like, he's being selfish. And then I saw it was like Kirk Cousins. He was like, well, no, it's actually like what the dollars represent is why I would go to the team that probably gave me the best contract. Because it's like he's not money hungry. It's like if someone gives him a deal that's twice as much, it means that team is like, this guy, we value him so much. Mm. So to your point of them just honoring that thing.
That's interesting. Wow. And so you guys get married next month.
Yeah. Like 40, 35 days or something like that. So
I'm curious.
I might pass out at the altar. It's going to be intense for me. Yeah.
Dude, that's... Yeah. Oh, you mean when you kiss her?
Yeah. It's going to be crazy. I don't even know, really. I forgot what that's like. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You just pass out after you kiss. What's it been like to be in a relationship? And you're pretty famous now. Like, you're millions of followers on all the platforms. And you're getting a lot of attention. I imagine you're getting hit up a lot, getting DM'd and stuff. What has it been like navigating a relationship with, you know, now your fiance and navigating like all this crazy stuff that people all over the world are throwing at you?
Yeah, I mean, she's amazing. She's there, my support system. Like, I remember going through something, whatever, talk to her. She's so gentle, kind through all that. I actually felt like God said this to me, like, I don't know, it was probably like 7 months ago, very intensely. I felt like he said, just out of the blue, it was like, Jimmy, stop scrolling or it'll ruin your life. And I was like, holy buckets, that's intense.
Holy buckets.
And yeah, yeah. I was like, dang, that's powerful. And so It's so true. Just like, yeah, having social media is your job, but you know, not being a consumer, creating something on there, you know? And so that's what I tell people to do. Like, if they can, I'd be like, don't consume stuff, like create stuff, you know?
Wow.
And that's been really big for me, is to like not even really try to get inspired by other people, like believe God's put enough in me personally and through hanging out with him and just walking down a street and seeing things and meeting people and stories to be inspired by that, versus like constantly like trying to see what's the next big thing or this or that, because then you just feel like you're in a rat race. But it's definitely, yeah, I heard Mr. Beast talk about it, and he was saying, like, there's different levels. Like, you've got 5 million followers. He's like, that's really cool. Like, people come up to you once in a while. You're with your girlfriend, and it's, like, fun to take pictures. 10 million, it's, like, it gets a little, like, yeah, like, everywhere you go now, someone will see you, recognize you, and that's still fun. And then now he's at, like, 100 million. But he's, like, when you get to 50 million, it's, like, you can't go outside with, like, getting mobbed. Yeah. And so I've made videos with, Mr. Beast in his hometown, and it was crazy. Like, we went in there to a Walmart, and within, like, 10 minutes, there's, like, 15 kids chasing us. And we're, like, trying to get content done without them in it, because we don't want someone that knows who we are to be in it. So we're, like, trying to find people, escape the aisles, go like this. Same with, like, I did a video with FaZe Rug. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's, like, I was a OG, like, streamer back in the day, big YouTuber. In San Diego, we shot a video, and within like 10 minutes, he's got a line of like 20 people getting pictures. Mm-hmm. So there's been a grace kind of on what I've done, because my face is like not in like hardly any of my content. So it's really nice. You know, like a waitress will recognize me, a waiter, or like someone, a family, and I just get to talk to them, pray with them, encourage them, and have these really awesome conversations. It hasn't been like overwhelming where it's like, jam, you know, it's really fun, and I really enjoy it, you know, getting to talk to people and really meeting these heroes that watch my videos. Because unlike most content creators where it's just random fans, like the people that watch my videos are the same people that donated to some GoFundMe that changed someone's life. So it's like, no way, bro, like you're a mechanic and you donated $5 to Tony. Like, tell me about that. Like, why did you do that? Like, don't you have your own bills to worry about? Like, what's going on? So that's really cool and fun. And yeah, it's really been a blast. And yeah, I guess thank God maybe my face isn't in the content, because that's how I can still do what I'm doing and remain anonymous to where not many people, like, you know what my face looks like.
Yeah, well, you said earlier you have a show coming out and some other big projects happening. I'm like, it's probably just a matter of time, though, before, you know, you're hitting those numbers that like Beast is hitting, and you're getting swarmed by people.
Yeah, it might be harder, but then we'll just have to, like, as soon as I know someone knows me, I'll just have to go to someone else. Yeah. And I've done that before. Like, I've asked somebody for help and they're like, no, man, we can't help you. We're good. And then like a minute later in Walmart, they'll come up to me. They'll be like, yeah, actually, we found our wallet. We would love to help you. And I'm like, I think I'm good.
I'm good now, homie.
Yeah, so I've learned how to read people, tell if they know what's going on, and just keep everything as authentic as possible.
Totally.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Bryant Ellis. A lot of you know I just released my new book, Hello, My Name is Failure. It's available on Kindle, Amazon, and Audible. It took me just over 3 years to write this book because it's a different format of a book than most literature. It's actually written from the perspective of failure to the reader. It was a book I created because it's something I wish I had in my early years as an entrepreneur and all the things that I was pursuing. One thing that I've learned throughout my success and things I've achieved is the fear of failure will cause more defeat in your life than actual failure ever will. And so I'm really excited to release this to everybody. I hope you guys like it. Here's a quick blurb from the book itself. Hello, my name is Failure.
My name is Failure. Now, you know me very well, but sometimes you pretend as if you don't. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Most people don't like being associated with failure. They're embarrassed to be seen with me. You see, what most people don't understand is I'm not the opposite of success. I'm the prerequisite. I don't destroy your dreams. I spark them into existence. I am not the enemy trying to destroy your plans. I am the educator showing you how to prosper by overcoming obstacles. By living your life running away from me, you're hiding from the very dreams you desire to see come to life. Choosing to befriend me is not easy. You will be misunderstood by your peers. Some will villainize you to others, but they do so because they envy the courage you have to embrace me and chase after what makes you come alive. Those who mock you in your season of failing will brag about knowing you in your season of victory. My name is Failure, and I'm so excited to make your acquaintance. New book now available on Amazon and Audible.
You said so much in that last bit that I want to unpack, but I won't go too deep into it. But you said that you feel like the Lord told you don't scroll because it'll ruin your life. You're a huge influencer on social media. You create content all the time that's reaching millions of people, but you don't scroll. Why do you feel like that was something he communicated to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just not good, literally. I mean, there's probably 5 million studies on it, but just like seeing stimulated so much, seeing different things. And even if you have your algorithm pretty down to where it's only like animals popping up or like Grand Canyon videos, like still just even that, you know, or just like a car pops up or a girl, whatever pops up, like anything like that, it just clouds your mind. And yeah, it's just not really healthy. And so that's why I'm like, man, I try to not scroll at all. And sometimes I do, like, it's funny he told me that, like, it took me a few months to even do it. You know, it's like, it's so hard to
we're so addicted to it. It's so hard. Like, I'll go on a social media break and then all of a sudden I'll just be scrolling on the toilet. Just like, oh shoot, I forgot. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And when you look at like my grandparents and their marriage and different people, you're like, wow, like, these people have been married like 70 years and it's like they didn't have that. And so, I mean, if you can just find things like that and being a creator and man, yeah, it's toxic. It's funny because it's what I do. But what I tried doing is being like, yo, social media is this dark place. People are going to go there anyway. So if I can just have a little light there and they see that,
that's it.
Maybe it'll poke their heart to come alive, to go outside, to talk to someone or whatever. But yeah. Social media is definitely a dicey thing. And I was on the news the other day. I was on Fox News and the anchors before the show were telling me like, what do you think about social media? Like, our kids want to get on it now, this and that. And I was like, honestly, I was like, I would only recommend they get on it if they want to create something, not consume something, and make sure they have like a pretty good set of ideas and like morals before they go into that place.
Yeah.
Because the internet will raise your kid, not you, if it's premature.
Well, that brings into an interesting discussion of originality versus imitation. And because you said something, you said, well, a lot of people are like, well, I need to be on it so I can see what's trending and whatever. The people who are getting the biggest and who are growing, they have these original ideas that they're bringing to the market. I don't know if you know like Connor Price, the musician.
No.
Makes these Instagram videos with music and he does these short skits. It's so original from what anybody's ever done. And he was the first. And now people copy him all the time with his style. People copy Mr. Beast. People copy you. People like good ideas have to be imitated, you know? Yeah. But it's like, it's the people who create the originality. They're the ones who blow up. And it's constantly innovating. You know what I'm saying? And it's like some people get stuck in. And it's so weird because like people are just dying for attention nowadays. So they'll do whatever it takes to get the like, share, and subscribes. And so they're like, oh, Jimmy's getting attention from this type of video, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to stage it. I'm going to have this person pretend he's surprised. And it's like, but you don't see fire on that. You know, they get a couple 100,000 subscribers and then they're on to the next trend they're following. And I'm like, that can't be fulfilling.
Yeah.
It can't feel like you're actually living through yourself and your passion and your giftings because you're just stealing what everyone else is doing. You know, follow this trend. Ding, ding. It's just like, I'm like, what's that been like for you? Because like, you have such original content and original ideas, and I love to see it.
Yeah. I definitely struggled with that in certain ways at first because I was like, I got this idea from the Lord. I started doing it. No one had ever really done something like this, and it felt so amazing and awesome because it was what the Lord had like told me to do, and we were changing people's lives. And then so many people started copying it that I was like, oh, wait, like, I need to now think of something else to do because I just always want to be original. I feel like there's enough people out there where we can all do our own things. And if someone's changing lives online, that's fire. I love that. But I'm saying if they do like word to word what you say, all this stuff, like it feels like, wait, now I'm not original, or people find this content first mm-hmm. before mine, and they think I'm copying this person when early I thought of this, and I just, you know, so there was a little bit of like navigating through that. But now I'm at a place where it's like, man, just do what you do. My dad always says, like, his restaurant, like, he doesn't worry about any restaurant across the street, no one else. He makes sure he runs his place awesome, clean, puts out good food on mm-hmm. time. And that's all he does. And everything takes care of itself. And so that's something I've learned to do is, like, man, just go do what I do. If the same video gets copied 6 times that week, it is what it is. It's something I can't control. Go change somebody's life. Do it. Do it well. Do it with a pure motive. Do it with the right reasoning. And just continue doing that process rather than being like, because the thing that would bother me is people would take the style of what I'm doing, but they would like super stage it and it would be fake. And I was like, no, that's not the point of this. Like, it's supposed to be real, you know? And it's like, But then you're just like a little principal your whole life mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, wait, that's fake. It's like, man, people are going to do what they're going to do. Let them do it. And, you know, they'll discover and learn things through that journey, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, but really just staying grounded, doing what you do best. And if people pass you, triple pass you, whatever, like, it's never been about numbers. It's all about people and keeping that authentic and never turning it into a business or a rat race or whatever. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like, let's say I ask someone to get money for a bus and they give it to me and we raise money and change their life. And then, you know, someone else does it and it's fake or whatever. It's like, should I not ask someone for a bus? It's like, no, keep doing it. Keep changing people's lives and like, let it be what it is. And it's all good from there, you know?
The market has a way of weeding those things out too, which yeah. is interesting. Like with Adventure Challenge, even, We a new copycat appears every month, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the first time it happened to me, it was weird because it was like when I got the idea, I was, you know, scourging the internet, right, looking for, right. Does this exist?
Yeah.
Nothing like it
existed. Yeah, you were trying to find something that didn't
yeah,
exist.
Yeah, a card yeah. scratch off. Yeah. The only thing that existed with scratch off was a hangman game that you open and then you scratch off the A to see if it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down. That was the only scratch off thing wow. that existed. That's now you Google insane. Scratch off and scratch yeah. off cards, scratch off days, scratch off this. And it was so weird, but it was like, I felt like the Lord told me play offense, not defense. Like just go after the ideas I give you and don't worry about that. And now, you know, with the size of this company, we have a legal team and you're just yeah. like, yeah, sick them. And they go after them, you know, and they right. shut it down. But it's funny because it was like at the beginning, it was like, don't spend your energy worrying about everyone else and how to defend this and yes. do this. It was like, just focus on what you have because the next idea is going to come and the next idea is going to come and you're living from innovation, not imitation. And that's way more powerful.
Yes. Switching from ownership to stewardship. That's so key versus me thinking this was my idea. I created it. And like, boom, it's like, no, 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 Jimmy. You didn't put your teeth on your forehead and your hands on your body, whatever. Like, I didn't do anything. Whatever. In yeah. This is my head, right? Putting my teeth on my head. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
good.
It's like,
good.
It's like, no, the Lord is the giver of every good and perfect gift. He gave the idea. My job is to steward it. Mm. And if he gives that idea to other people or inspires their hearts to do it and they do it in a pure way, like, there's tons of people that do what I do and do it like the same way that kill it. And it's so pure and I'm friends with them and I love what they do. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like I don't have 5 bodies. I can't be doing this in South America, but you are. So that's sick, man. Like, awesome. If you need advice, I'll give it to you, whatever. And then you might get like a random guy on Instagram, DM you like, hey Jimmy, how do you film? Like, how do you do this? And I'll be like, wait, what? And I like look at his profile. It's like super sketchy. I'm like, I don't want that guy knowing because mm-hmm. who knows what he would do if he had yeah. like, you know, knew how to do that. Like, you got to be careful. We're dealing with people's lives here. This yeah. isn't just an yeah. algorithm. You know?
Yeah. Last thing I want to ask is what's new for you or what's next?
Yeah. What's next is, yeah, man, it's pretty surreal sitting here, you know, because, yeah, I was here like 3 years ago and yeah, it's so powerful when people speak into your life, especially that don't know you, but they just see something or they feel like God has a word for you. And that's what happened about 5 years ago when I was at a church here. A lady pulled me aside. She's like, yeah, I have a word for you. I feel like from the Lord. And I was like, really? What is it? She's like, in the next 5 years, God's going to put a root system and community around you to strengthen you. And you're going to have your own TV show. And I was like, what? Like, mind you, for people watching, I started making this content like 3 years ago. So this is over 5 years ago. I was not making content. I had like no followers, like maybe 100 on Instagram of like me at the beach or something. Like, so when she said that, I was like, what the heck? But that word stuck in my heart and I pondered it and I got different opportunities came up in those years and I was knocking, selling security in Florida. And I was like, man, that word that she said, I don't want to miss out if that was God. I feel like it's worth me trying. I can get a sales job any day. Like you can apply for a sales job and get one. So I'm like, I need to take a risk and go for something. So I started doing this content and sure enough, like it's been about 5.5 years now. And just like last week, I shot the first episode of my TV show that's coming out with Taylor Lautner, Jason Kennedy. I can't get into too many details, but we're changing people's lives on a whole nother level beyond what I can do alone by myself. So everyone was bawling their eyes out. It was crazy. We were able to change someone's life, and now we're filming like 15 episodes. But it was so crazy to see like, wait, that lady wasn't tripping out. Like that word she gave me the strength to do it. So that's sick, being here working on a project with you guys when you were my first ever like brand deal that trusted and like worked with me. That's surreal. I'm writing a book right now. That's surreal. That's I didn't even read in high school. I was a professional skimmer, you know? So that's awesome. Yeah. The guy, get this, the guy that's helping write my book with me, because obviously I'm not writing it alone, I have help. Mm-hmm. He was a midnight psychiatric crisis responder.
What the heck?
So he would like go to someone's house at midnight if they were going to like chainsaw their arm off, and he'd like settle them down and like be like, it's okay. Or like just crazy scenarios. Dang. He would go and de-escalate it.
Yeah.
And then also he was the mouse at Chuck E. Cheese.
He was the what?
The mouse at Chuck E. Cheese. Like he worked at a Chuck E. Cheese as the mouse.
So like, oh, he did both at the same time?
Like back and forth or whatever, but
holy crap. Wow.
So like what a perfect guy to help me write a book, right?
Perfect guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so wild.
I'm stoked on that, and that'll be dope because, yeah, books are so sick. Like, I hate reading, but the couple books I have read have changed my life because when you read a book, it's like a movie on steroids. Like, movies are powerful because I don't even think you get cell reception in a theater. Mm-hmm. So it's like 3 hours of not scrolling. You're staring at a screen. Now, a book is that, you know, times 10, and it can really be powerful. So I'm hoping this book reaches a lot of people, impacts their lives. And like my main thing is I want people to like do and co-labor in life with God and in their dreams and the passions he's put in them and go about it and take those big risks, but never get over spiritual, you know, because that's when it can get into like funky land. It's like the perfect combination of like knowing the Lord's put something in your heart to do it, but also take the practical steps to do it.
I love talking to you. I just get fired up every time. And I think like your faith inspires me for sure, you know, and I love how you live by faith, but you're also very practical. You're a powerful person.
Yeah,
you know,
thank you, man.
Like if God gives you a dream, he has also empowered you to go kick down doors to go make it happen, you know? And you know, it's so funny cause I, you know, talk to different Christians and they're like, yeah, God wants me, God's called me to do this. And I'm like, well, what are you doing about it?
Right.
Waiting for him to open a door. It's like, why aren't you going out and taking a risk, failing, re-educating yourself, taking another risk, failing again? Like if he's empowered, if he's called you to do this, he's empowered you to go fail and learn. It's like, and you've made so many videos that don't work. You've learned from so much of your experiences, and like what you know now, you can duplicate. If somebody said, Jimmy, I want to do exactly what you're doing, blah, 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 you could literally coach them within a couple months to you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You could remake this versus like the lottery mindset that a lot of people have where they're like, oh, God's going to give it to me. Yeah, but how are you going to use that to teach other generations to walk in this wisdom? Like if it's just like that. And so I love to see the way you walk because it's practical and it's powerful, but it's also you're partnering with faith.
You know? Yeah. Amen, man. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, those two combined is fire. Like, I remember one of my friends was going to start doing social media, and he was doing it, and, like, the post just didn't look right. Like, it just didn't look professional. I'm like, bro, like, you have me. Like, hit me up anytime. Like, and I would give him advice, and he wouldn't do it. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, you don't go to a restaurant, want to be a chef, and ask, like, a car salesman how to do it. Like, find someone in whatever area it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Learn from them.
Yeah.
If they're doing it in a way you don't want to do it, like, throw that out, but take the good from that. Mm. And whenever you put out a product or whatever, make sure it looks like the top person in that space, you know? So it's like, if you make a video and you're wondering why it's not doing well, going viral, whatever, it's like, well, bro, your thumb was in front of the lens. Like, your lens was blurry. Like, get the phone with the right quality, similar. Like, obviously, if we're talking a big production, match it. I'm not talking about that, but just those practical steps. And yeah, hopefully people watching this podcast will see from me what I know and what I've experienced in you, like, it doesn't take a genius, you know, to like go after something God's done. And I love what you said about the baseball thing, you know, it's like swinging and missing and versus like, I suck at baseball versus like, oh wait, how do I hit the ball? I ain't good at that. I wish you would have said that like 10 years ago because I played baseball. I was a great pitcher, but horrible batter.
Yeah.
I think I batted like 10% or something.
I wish I would have known that 10 years ago. I would have saved myself a lot of messes.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, but that's part of failure is you learn. Thanks again for being on the podcast, Jimmy. It's so great talking to you. You guys can go find him on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Snapchat. You want Snapchat?
Snapchat, baby.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you, brother.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Cheers.